to the Remington Podcast, where we take a deep dive into all things ammunition. I'm your host, Audrey Mays, and today we're sitting down with Steph Lane, who is the Iowa Program Coordinator for Pass It On Outdoor Mentors. We're talking about the importance of mentoring new members of the hunting community, Pass It On's mission, and what it takes to be a good mentor. Let's get into it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I'm super excited.
Yeah, thanks for making the trip to be down here in Arkansas with us.
Yeah, I was in Tennessee and when you invited me to Arkansas, I'm like, this is last weekend when you invited me. I'm like, this is my chance. So yeah, met you last week and here I am just coming through.
Yeah,
well, on my way home.
Yeah, we just did a tour of the factory and we're about to, after this podcast, we're going to go shoot some sporting clays. So that'll be exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pumped.
We have a 13-hole sporting course, so we'll shoot 100 birds. Be great.
Awesome.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to have you on today so you could tell us a little bit about the Pass It On Outdoor Mentors program.
Yeah. So Pass It On Outdoor Mentors is a nonprofit, and we focus on finding mentors to take kids hunting and fishing. Mm-hmm. We are based out of Kansas. We've been around for about going on our 24th year. The president, Mike Christensen, started the organization 24 years ago. And then just in the last less than 4 years, they expanded out to Iowa. And last year, we expanded out to Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And we'll probably be in a couple more states this year as well. So we're growing. We're in our growing phase right now.
Great. Yeah. So those are the three states that this program's available in currently.
Yeah, it's Kansas, Iowa, and Wisconsin. And we have coordinators in each state. We have two in Kansas. I'm the only Iowa coordinator. And then we have one Wisconsin coordinator right now. And we are in charge of finding the kiddos, the mentors, the land, and making those events and hunts possible, basically.
So is it primarily for young adults or young children?
Yeah. So for hunting, we require them to be 11 with hunter's ed. They do have to have hunter's ed to do our hunts, just for liability insurance reasons.
Right.
And encourage kids to get hunter's education also. But they can actually be 22 years old.
Oh, okay.
11 to 22. Uh-huh. So if they're in a collegiate sporting, I'm trying to say, like trap, skeet, archery, and they're in that in college, we encourage them to do our hunts as well. Mm-hmm. So 11 to 22.
And you guys don't discriminate, right? You like rifle shooters, bow shooters, all the above.
Yeah. Whatever we have available for mentoring. From the learning curve that I think is super fun right now that we're going through is we're primarily in the Midwest right now. If you consider Kansas the Midwest, I suppose, but Kansas, Iowa, Wisconsin, we all have different game and different laws and different seasons. So that's where the coordinators are extra important because we're from those states. We know those states. We can kind of navigate that a little bit because it's not the same from state to state. So, what's really popular in Kansas might not be as popular in Iowa, Wisconsin, et cetera. You know, pheasant hunting is one of the most popular in Kansas and Iowa, but Wisconsin pheasant hunting isn't really a thing.
Right.
So they're going to be focused on more things like deer and turkey and it'll just shift from state to state. And as we go, that'll change too.
Okay. So, awesome.
Yeah.
So, do you guys ever take people who come from outside the state into your mentorship program or is it like people who live there, period?
Yeah. So we have, we've offered, because we're still in the growing stage, we offered a snow goose hunt in Missouri to our Iowa kids, for example.
Okay.
So we worked with an outfitter and they gave, we got these kids out snow goose hunting in a different state. Mm-hmm. If we ever end up in Missouri, then that might look a little bit different. And we do have mentors from other states who want to come to Iowa, Kansas, Wisconsin and mentor, back to Missouri. We have a trap coach who lives in Missouri, but he is a coach for an Iowa team. So in his scenario, he likes to mentor, but we just have to, it's kind of tricky. It's expensive to be a non-resident hunter in Iowa, and every state's different. So if you want to mentor from out of state, we welcome that, but the cost is going to vary for everybody.
Right.
So it just, that's one of the things we have to navigate as we go.
So you do bring people from out of state, but it's expensive.
Yeah. I mean, it just depends. We welcome mentors of all kinds and we're still learning and growing and how to make that work. And it just has to be, it's a volunteer program. So if the mentors want to do that, we totally encourage that. But we also never want to burn anybody out either.
Right. Yeah, definitely. So, can't overload people. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. Do you, it's mostly a kid program, but like, do you do new hunters from every walk, all walks of life? Like, do you recommend that?
That's a good question. We get asked that a lot. So our focus is kids, you know, 11 to 22. I would say for me, the majority of the kids I see are going to be about 14 to 16 years old. Like that's the average. I'm usually seeing that age group. Mm-hmm. The thing is like with focusing on kids, like in our program, you are kind of simultaneously supporting everybody because you have the mentor who's coming in who may or may not be a really active hunter, or maybe there's someone who, hey, this just kind of reactivated them back into into hunting. They're like, you know what? I've hunted everything. I've kind of done the deal. Mm-hmm. But as a lot of people know, there's nothing like taking somebody else.
Right.
So it gets those people back
into it.
Mm-hmm. And then you're taking the parents. So a rule with us is if it's a hunt, like let's say it's a turkey hunt.
Okay.
Versus like a duck hunt. If you're taking a kid turkey hunting, you're probably doing that one-on-one, a mentor and a hunter. Mm-hmm. If the kid's under 18 years old, a guardian has to go with.
Okay.
We don't have like a mentor kid by themselves ever. Mm-hmm. If it was like a duck hunt where they're like in a blind and there's like eight kids, you know, we can have, the ratio can be a little bit different, but we never want to have an adult and kid by themselves,
right,
you know, for everybody's protection, mm-hmm, basically. But in return, where I found from mentoring myself too, then you get those parents jacked up about it.
Yeah.
And then you're also kind of creating a hunter from them too,
right,
or at least supportive of a hunter, because mm-hmm, they're going to be the ones paying for all their kids' stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely.
So, but the parents fall in love with it too. Mm-hmm. I rarely see it not happen that way. Cause you're creating adult hunters from this too, just because they're there.
Right.
They're asking questions. And
especially if their kid falls in love with it, like, you know, that they're going to be passionate about that too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cause oftentimes like if it's you know, whatever hunt, if it's a pheasant hunt and the kid's coming pheasant hunting, more than likely they don't probably pheasant hunt all the time by themselves. Cause if they're coming to a mentored hunt, they don't have maybe the access or the availability to do it. Mm-hmm. A lot of times what we see kids who do our hunts, they maybe have hunted before. But what will happen is dad will bring his daughter to a pheasant hunt and they go on a pheasant hunt. And the dad takes me aside later and goes, this was awesome. We're duck hunters. We don't pheasant hunt, but we loved this. Mm-hmm. And in return, I'd like to mentor kids duck hunting.
Okay.
And it becomes this like family and network of parents and mentors that help other hunters get into other types of hunting. Mm-hmm. That's like what we see the most. It's like kids have maybe hunted a little bit, but they're different species.
Right.
And they want to try something new. And anything with dogs will get kids hooked too.
Definitely. Yeah.
So they want to see that. They want to see the dog work and like, what's that about? And that kind of thing. So that's we do see kids who have hunted a little bit more often. It's not usually a brand new hunt. I mean, it is. We see a ton of brand new hunters, mm-hmm, but it's interesting. Like we get people who just maybe do one species and they just really want to try something else. Mm-hmm. And then, but then it creates more mentors and then it creates this like buzz and it grows from there. So that's like super fun part.
Yeah. That's amazing. You know, cultivating a community around hunting in any area is good for the environment and good for the animal and good for the human. I mean,
yeah. Yeah. And these kids, like, it's cool. Like when I go to Kansas and like go help at fundraisers and events and stuff, we've been around for 24 years in Kansas. Mm-hmm. You know, we now have mentors who used to be the kids that got mentored.
Oh yeah.
And mm-hmm, I like can't wait for Iowa and Wisconsin to be that.
To get there.
You know, like I hope I get to see that in like 10 years of the kids like I've mentored or any of our mentors have mentored, like be the mentors. Like mm-hmm, that's what we're trying to do here, you know, mm-hmm, create this passing it on and consistently forever, hopefully leaving legacy.
Yeah. Thing. Do you ever have parents who maybe were like adult hunters, like they got into hunting as adults, right? And so they weren't like raised in hunting. Do you have those kinds of people who bring their kids because they're not exactly sure how to bring up someone in the hunting world?
Yeah. Yeah. All the time.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's they got into deer hunting. It's mm-hmm, kind of interesting. You know, like if you grew up hunting, like from the time you're little, oftentimes you grew up doing more like small game and birds first and then you get into big game.
Yeah.
But I see that more people get into big game first and then do small game
as adults.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, especially in Iowa. Kansas, Wisconsin, Iowa are like deer places.
Big whitetail places. Yeah.
So people want to get into whitetail hunting. Mm-hmm. So like those adults that are adult onset hunters, usually oftentimes they become like a deer hunter and that's what they're exposed to. And, then they just get hooked on everything. Mm-hmm. And so then they're like, yeah, like I want to go with, I'll be quiet. You teach my kid, but I'm observing the whole time.
Right. Cause they're also learning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the, or they just, they don't know, they don't have access. And sometimes we can help them get access to certain places. Mm-hmm. But our hunts are on public land, private land preserves. It just depends what we can get, mm-hmm. And what's safe and what makes sense.
Right.
Every season's different. Every region of our states are different. You know, you live in Arkansas, so
right.
You know, mm-hmm. one half of Arkansas is very
different from the other.
Wise, different, and it's you know the same everywhere else too.
Absolutely. So, I mean, you know, you have that one half that's farmland, the other half that's mountains. In hunting, those two places are not the same,
right?
So, I mean, that's fantastic that you are like that education source for these all these different types of people.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And if Forrest is, you know, our team is awesome. Just state to state, and all of us are hunters. And all of us have our things that we probably love more than the other, but I think it forces all of us as coordinators and as a team to become better woodsmen too, because we have to like, we're kind of the middleman for a lot of these newbies or relatively green hunters, you know, answering questions and like helping them figure this out, mm-hmm. Which is really rewarding for me because it does make me a better hunter. Cause I kind of have to know some of these things for these people to support them, you know? Yeah. So that's pretty, it's a pretty cool part of the job.
That's awesome. So what you guys do mostly is you set up young kids, young hunters with a mentor that's right for them. Right. And so what makes a good mentor?
Yeah. So our mentors, so first to mentor with us, you, there is a sign up on our website. There's a mentor link. And it takes you through a quick, like, background check, basically, a questionnaire mm-hmm. background check. And then that goes through in, like, 5 minutes. And then that comes back to whoever the coordinator would be. And then we'll follow up with you, check in, say, hey, we got your background. We got your sign up. Thank you so much. Like, let's chat about what you want to mentor. Mm-hmm. 'Cause we get, you know, not everybody hunts everything. Or some people just want to be a duck hunting mentor, whatever it is. So we'll talk to them about that. And then we do a game violation check too. So just like basics, mm-hmm. background check, not a poacher.
Right. check know? Those boxes. Yeah.
And if you have game violations and it's like a one-off weird thing, usually you can still get through. We're just looking for people who like don't repeat offending
and
they like are learning lessons, you know?
Yeah.
So, that's like basic. And then as far as like what makes a good mentor, it's, one, I would say you're passionate about whatever it is you're doing and you love it. And you can tell that with people pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. It is hard. Like anyone who hunts knows and working people know, or if you have a family, it's hard to make time for hunting sometimes for yourself. So I see that with mentors and I always try to check in with them. Like, okay, is this too much? Am I asking too much? But you do have to be a little bit selfless because you're taking away from your own hunt, right? Like if you're taking kids and parents mm-hmm. hunting, you're not shooting yourself, right? Like you're not shooting the game. You're going, you're a guide, you're a mentor. Mm-hmm. So the ability to do that, you know, just kind of, take other people and hunt for them mm-hmm. and not really yourself. But when you first become a mentor, especially when you're like younger, I feel like that's kind of hard to do at first. Cause you're like, I don't really have a big deer yet. And I haven't shot all the turkeys I want to shoot. Yeah. And I don't really want to share my duck hunting spot, you know? And I get that, but there is something, I think being open-minded and a little bit selfless and the desire to like pass on what you love is what's necessary. And then just being a safe, ethical person. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to know everything about every game that you're hunting to mm-hmm. be a mentor. I don't care if you have 50 years experience or two, as long as you're competent and you can safely get them there, safely help them with their firearm, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. And at the end, if they harvest something, you can help them clean the animal. Like that's really the like basics. Must-haves. Mm-hmm. But you can tell with people, like when you talk to them pretty quickly, like if this probably isn't what they should be doing. And they usually write themselves off before I have to.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they don't, very rarely, I don't have someone like fight to be a mentor who like shouldn't be a mentor. They like know mm-hmm. that
they're not there yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Either confidence wise or personality wise, they just don't have the patience to mm-hmm. deal with other people. Most people like that won't even put themselves in that situation. So, it kind of works itself out
yeah.
a lot of times, but on the other side, like on the confidence side, there's so many people I personally know that I wish would mentor, but they just don't necessarily feel like they have enough to share. But if you know, 10% more and you're safe, safety first, if you're knowledgeable, there's so much that kid is going to learn from you mm-hmm. and get from that experience. And just to have them go alongside of you. I've hunted with so many people who like are still learning or don't feel like they know enough. And I learned something from every single person I've ever hunted with. You know, you have something to offer.
Right.
And I feel all of our coordinators are really, we can all talk forever mm-hmm. and we would talk to you about whatever. So if you're feeling that way, you can address those concerns. Like, what are you nervous about, worried about? And we can help you assess if it's like the right fit too.
Right.
But it's pretty open. Like we want all experience levels. That kid doesn't care.
Right. Or know.
Yeah. Any or difference. No. Yeah. 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 So as long as you're safe mm-hmm. and have a general, like good idea of what you're doing, then it's okay.
Yeah. yeah. Have been successful. Know yeah. how to clean the animal.
Yeah.
I feel like the latter is almost a little more difficult to attain there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And at least help them. Yeah. I haven't had. The only, we really don't get a lot of complaints. Mm-hmm. Everyone's just so happy to be there
right.
and to feel supported through it, mm-hmm. whether they get something or they don't get something. You know, like, but everyone's human beings. So some people don't click, I guess, you know, and that sure. sort of thing. But it really, everyone's there for the same, like, common love of what they're doing. And, mm-hmm. I don't know. It makes for a really positive environment. I think 99.9% of the time.
Yeah, so that's great.
It does kind of weirdly work itself out.
Mm-hmm. So how, say I'm in the state of Arkansas, right? And we don't have a passed on outdoor mentor program here. How do I reach out to you guys to say, hey, you know, I want this program in my state, you know?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So our president is Mike Christensen and our CEO is Brittany French. And then the rest of the team are the coordinators, like, Bobby and Gunner are in Kansas, Steph, me, I'm in Iowa, and Quinn is our Wisconsin coordinator. So, all of our information is, we're like a little too Googleable. I think you can find all of us. Mm-hmm. You could reach out to your state coordinator or Mike or Brittany, and we would like field that together. And Mike and Brittany would have those conversations with those people probably if it seems like it's going that direction. The thing that's the reason we've been in Kansas, Iowa, Wisconsin, it helps a lot when we're a nonprofit. So like financially it has to
make sense.
Mm-hmm. And have some sort of support there. But if the state like wildlife agency is like backing us, mm-hmm. that is a huge difference. So, you know, we have a contract with the Iowa DNR where the Iowa DNR manages, the trap teams, the trap shooting teams mm-hmm. in Iowa. And they have a special interest in getting those kids out hunting because they have to go through a gun safety. Well, the gun safety course they go through is Hunter's Ed.
Right.
So there's thousands, there's like almost 5,000 kids in Iowa for trap who all have Hunter's Ed and don't necessarily hunt. And they're better with guns than probably most adults are. And mm-hmm. they own a shotgun. Mm-hmm. So it's like, that's like
a golden opportunity.
Why wouldn't you get those kids out hunting? So that they have a special interest in getting those kids because they have Hunter's Ed. Like, let's use it. Let's mm-hmm. show them what they can do with it. So if you have like a partnership like that, that's going to make us pay attention to that state and like try to get something to start rolling there. But, Mike and Brittany would be the ones to start those conversations and see how that can like pencil out, how we can make it work. That's what we want. We want to be in multiple other states. I know they've talked to like Kentucky and Missouri about expanding out there in mm-hmm. the next year. And I know there's other states in the conversation too. We just want to keep growing and expanding and eventually have another coordinator in Iowa, another one in Wisconsin. My goal this year is to be just around 200 hunts mm-hmm. for the year that I manage. And once I'm like consistently at that, then we would look at getting another Iowa coordinator
to expand to
do that. And mm-hmm. Wisconsin would be the same way. But we've been in Kansas a long time, which is why we have more coordinators out there.
when you say 200 hunts on the book for the year, that's not you going on 200 hunts, is it?
No, I coordinate them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's a lot. I like hunting, but like, that's a lot.
That's a lot. Yeah. And so technically like our job, you know, my job is not necessarily to mentor. My job is to make the hunts happen.
Right.
But all of our coordinators mentor. Mm-hmm. It's not required. It just, especially when you're starting a new state, like for me, I just love hunting and I love taking other people. And when I was getting started and trying to create the buzz in Iowa, I thought it was really important for me to mentor myself too. So people can see like, oh, she puts her money where her mouth is and she loves it.
Yeah, definitely.
And when they see the coordinators doing the thing, it creates more buzz and more interest. And also being a female too, I just thought it was really important to see a female mentor because I'd loved, because ultimately when I mentor, more than, I don't know, 60, 70, six times out of 10, seven mm-hmm. times out of 10, the kid who signs up is a girl. Mm-hmm. And then we get more girls into hunting when we have more female mentors too. Mm-hmm. And that's just like important to me to see also.
Definitely.
But yeah, so we don't have to, but we all do. Mm-hmm. We all probably mentor a hunt a month at least. I bet.
And we talked about this earlier, but in terms of like women in the space, you hold like women's events too, don't you?
Yeah. So that's me personally. How I got the opportunity to work for Outdoor Mentors is because since 2018, I've been contracting with the Iowa DNR and teaching women's workshops and events mm-hmm. with them. So I teach like turkey hunting, small game, archery to women all over Iowa. And I was already doing that with the DNR. So when Outdoor Mentors inquired about coming to Iowa, they were talking to the DNR, do you know anyone who'd be interested in this job? And they referred me to this opportunity and I had to completely change my career to do it because it just felt really good.
Yeah.
So
something you believe in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've been mentoring and teaching women since 2018. On paper, but I've been doing that a long time.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's important for young girls to see, you know, someone in the space who can hold their own.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'd love to see, this is just, you know, I think all of us would, I'd love to see more female mentors.
Yeah.
Just in general, I can think of a dozen women just in my state that I think should be mentoring because mm-hmm. they're awesome and they would inspire a lot of young ladies and young men. I've mentored just as many boys as I have girls, you know, and,
right.
I think they think it's pretty cool too, mm-hmm. that I'm a girl in the space, you know, and their parents do too. Their moms do. Like it just creates this like really great environment that just like, it's like becomes a supportive family. And I think we want to see more. I mean, there's a ton of female shooters, you know, now.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we want to see those young ladies get out hunting and, but we want to see all kids, you know, we don't care like what your background is. Like,
right.
We want to see all kids get out hunting.
Yeah. Like we said earlier, like the outdoors is a great like leveler, you know, like all that matters is that you're there, is that you're trying and your knowledge base.
Yeah.
And if you're out there teaching people, you know, how to act in the outdoors, it's only going to grow the interest in whatever animal you're pursuing, the landscape itself. And I mean, it really solidifies the future of hunting and shooting.
Yeah. Yep. I agree.
I love what you guys do. I think it's great. How does one sign up to be a mentor?
Yeah. You go to outdoormentors.org and there is a mentor tab. And there's just a sign up and then it'll ask you to take a background check. And it really does take like 5 minutes. And then that just goes to our team. And even if you're out of state, like let's say you're not in Wisconsin, like if you're in Minnesota, mm-hmm. the state we're not in, our team will direct it to one of us that's like, you know, like, hey, we'll still reach out to you. Like one of the coordinators in another state will still reach out and connect with you on what you want to do. It's really easy and it happens pretty quickly.
Cool.
It's much more laid back. I know usually people will have a lot of questions, but it's much simpler than it probably seems. If you think of like big brothers, big sisters, mm-hmm. it's the same like premise. Really.
Gotcha.
Similar premise anyway. Yeah.
If I have a child and I want, you know, I want to put them with a mentor, how do I do that? Same thing. Go to the website.
Yeah. That's a great question. So we do have a youth sign up as well, right next to the mentor link. Or you can just contact us and like ask the questions too. Mm-hmm. And then we can help you through that because sometimes with like a youth sign up, in like a general sign up, I would do the same. I would follow up, say, hey, you know, thanks so much for signing up. Like, what are you interested in? And sometimes it's better if we can get on a call, because sometimes if they're new hunters, they don't really know what they're interested in. They just want to go. They just want to like do it.
They're just excited.
Yeah. And some mentors, so the general practice that we would have is a mentor signs up, they say, hey, you know, spring turkey's coming up, which is like my favorite. So, they say, hey, this is like the area, this is the dates I can hunt. Here's, you know, here's the logistics. I create an event. We put it on our website. We push it on our social medias, our email lists, our text messages, share it with different trap teams and say, hey, like first come, first serve for this turkey hunt. We can do it that way. Or if there's a mentor who is more like, hey, if they're more flexible, they're like, if you just have a kid in this general area that wants to go turkey hunting, let me know. So then I might do it in a different way where it's like, hey, I know Joey and Jane want to go turkey hunting and they live in Southeast Iowa and I have a mentor there. I'll say, hey, Joey and Jane, I'm going to just like find you a personal mentor. And we don't like broadcast it. We just like set it up more privately.
Kind of in the background.
Yeah. So we can do it either way.
Okay. Very cool. Taking all the strides you can to get there, I suppose.
Yeah. Because sometimes there are just some hunts that are really popular and kids fill up fast. And we encourage like the same kids to go hunting with us. Like we don't, it is, this isn't like you go deer hunting with us once and you can never go, you can't do all the other things. Like if you want to sign up as a kid or sign your kid up for all the things, cause these are free hunts for them. We encourage that unless it gets taken advantage of a little bit too much. Like if they're like, as soon as it comes up filling the spot and someone else can't go, then we'll be like, hey, just like maybe give it a rest a little bit and we'll get you back out. But we do encourage kids to go with us more than once. Cause we're trying to create hunters, you know, not just like a one-off experience. Like we want to create outdoors men from this.
Trying to create the bond there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. That's great. So you're a mentor, you said, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So can you share with me like maybe a personal story about when you mentored and when it was really rewarding for either you or the other person?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I had too much caffeine and I hope I don't cry or something. like just get so pumped up about it. I can think of multiple examples.
I'm sure there's not just one. I mean,
No, there's not. There's like two in my mind that like stick out a lot, but, there's this. Okay. So for me last turkey season, last spring, I took a bunch of different kiddos out and, we had a blast on every single one, but one was a young lady and her dad that she's 14 and I took her, on her, they'd like been kind of trying to be successful at turkey hunting and just hadn't like gotten on anything yet and stuff. And her dad's gotten her into deer hunting and she's, kind of a reserved, like quiet kid, but she's super sweet and just a goer, you know? And, so we're going to, I'm coming to this spot blind. This landowner gave me permission last minute. We changed spots because the spot I was originally going to take them, I just all of a sudden wasn't seeing birds and I was not feeling good about it. And this landowner just like kind of came through and was like, hey, if I was going to turkey hunt any of him, he owns a bunch of land because he's an outfitter. And doesn't really do turkeys, he does deer. He's like, but if I was going to turkey hunt, this is where I'd go. And so I went there the day before, like 2 hours away from where I was, and scouted it the day before. And it like looked really good.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay, we're just changing plans. You know, I'm going to meet you an hour and a half. They were coming from like an hour and a half. I was coming from 2 hours. I'm like, we're going to meet here 4 a.m., you know, kind of deal. And there's a lot of work put into it. And, we get in this blind and I am looking out the window and I just like feel my stomach drop. I'm like, am I imagining that is a turkey like right above us, you know,
like roosting
like right there. And I'm like, and then the girl, she was like, no, I think it's moving. You know, we're just like staring at it. And I'm like, there's no way. And then we like look and like these trees are just turkeys everywhere. The whole
in the trees.
Yeah. We sat right underneath of them. I mean, circled us in every direction and we're sort of like popping our heads. I'm like, I don't know how we didn't spook
these.
Like, I don't know how we didn't spook them out of the roost. Like we weren't super quiet, you know? And, so we're like jacked up and they, some of them fly off, you know, in different directions, but a few of them land in our work in and we saw a bearded hen and we saw these jakes fighting and like just these, the two big toms got hung up and we're just strutting off trying to get the hens away from the jakes. And it was just like this whole show, like around us. I'd never, it was just, she saw everything. And, ended up shooting one of the, we were really focused, really hyper-focused on this one Tom, cause he was like the big boy, but he was staying the front. He kept strutting behind this tree, and he just kept moving like back and forth working this tree. And he just wouldn't come out. So I'm like, let's just focus on a different bird or whatever. And, she ended up taking, one of the other males, you know, but, just like when she got her turkey, and like the exchange and the look and the excitement between like her dad and her, I was 14 when I shot my first turkey with my dad too. Mm-hmm. And like turkey hunting, I have bird dogs. So my bird dogs like kind of come first, but turkey hunting is like my favorite. Mm-hmm. And so, and I get real, real pumped up about it, and have so many positive experiences and memories from turkey hunting, like with my dad. And so just like, they both like were like misty eyed, pumped up. Just, we saw this whole show of Jakes and hens and Toms like doing their thing, and just ended up in a really good spot. And she just like was so like proud. And I just can't explain the like look in her eyes, you know, and her dad's so proud of her. And to this day, like he still tells me, he's like, this is like a hunt we will remember forever. And I mean, hunting is like so important to me. Mm-hmm. So to like be a part of like that father daughter like connection, mm-hmm. like that, it just like took me back to being 14 right. All over again. And then since then I've taken her pheasant hunting too. And just, I love all our kiddos, you know, yeah. I have a lot of stories, but that one was just personal because like, it just took me back to my first turkey, and like it hooked me in a whole different way. Mm-hmm. You know, just it, I vividly remember my first turkey hunt with my dad, and it just felt so humbling to be a part of her journey and her story. Cause mm-hmm. I know it like clicked something for her. You could just see it.
You could see it.
You could feel it, see it. Her dad's like pride. Like it just took me back 16 years ago, you know? Right. So it was pretty special.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's so like amazing that you got to be a part of that experience. You probably changed her life.
Yeah.
Like think about that.
Yeah. And she did mine too. Mm-hmm. She did mine too, because like I had already mentored multiple times before that. And it's it just solidified like what I'm doing and what we're doing.
Right.
Just because I know, even if people don't say this, like, you know, sometimes hunting does get a bad rap for being like this like trophy sporting chase, but most hunters I know, and I don't care if they're the rough and rowdy kind, you mm-hmm. know, like what you're thinking, like hunting is bigger than harvesting an animal for people. It's like for their mental health. It's for, you know, it's their like happy place. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's what, like, you know, through, it's how they connect with their family and with nature and get away from life, or, you know, it creates patience and confidence and all those things. So it's not like, I think that hump still would have been amazing. I mean, just, it would have been amazing if she hadn't gotten a bird too, mm-hmm. but, you know, that was like the cherry on top. And right. I think she still would have been hooked either way, cause it was just such a cool experience. But, yeah, it's like bigger than that. Like, and I think people, I don't think that every type of hunting is for everybody, but I think hunting is like for everybody.
For everybody. Someone, you have a spot somewhere.
You do.
You just have to find it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I totally agree with that. I think it's very much a spiritual thing.
Yeah.
You know, connecting with the world that you come from.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we are a part of the circle of life. Like we need to embrace that kind of thing. And understanding where your food comes from.
Yep.
Like that young woman got to feed her family with that turkey.
Yeah.
Like that is a crazy thing to think about also.
It definitely is. There was another hunt too, just like that was super special for our team. We were all in Kansas and all the coordinators mentored a hunt together for these young kids mm-hmm. on a duck hunt. And like, I think we were already close as a team, but to mentor together as like friends and coworkers and take this group of kids out who were like kind of a big range of age and skill and stuff, and just sit with them and just kind of like, it was kind of like they're blind, you know, we're like in the background just monitoring and making mm-hmm. sure they're safe, but just like all these 11 to 17 year olds just kind of, the camaraderie and smack talking to each other, like in the duck blind, you know, it was like, we still talk about that as a team, like how cool that was to mentor together. Mm-hmm. And so I hope to do more of that, like more group mentoring too, and do like a turkey camp. And, you know, we have mentors and kids all camp together and then go out in the morning to their spots. And I just, that camaraderie, that hunting club feeling, I think, you and I talked about like solo hunting is such a big thing. I think that's important. I love to solo hunt. But that like closeness that you can have with like other hunters is really special. I think it's important, especially nowadays, like the human connection thing is so
important and almost lost, like the connection, the community, we need that in order to sustain for sure. And I think it's great what you guys do, and hopefully I'll get to be a part of it one day.
We would love that.
You know, got to push for them to be in Arkansas.
We talk about Arkansas all the time. I think Arkansas would be an awesome state to be in because you guys offer so much, like as a state, from fishing and hunting, just diversity of game and stuff. And I think that'd be so great to be in Arkansas. I mean,
mallard hunting capital of the world.
We would love that, because we don't, you know, duck hunting's not great in Iowa. It's a little bit better in Kansas, I think. But yeah, it would be. And for young men, we see a lot of them want to be duck hunters.
Shoot, so. I think you can thank the 24/7 guys for that. But I mean, but I think it'd be a great step. And I mean, Remington has been a partner for a while now. And I think that, I mean, we're going to stick to it, and together, I think, pass it on. And Remington and everyone else who partners with you guys, like, we're going to make a change. So.
Yeah. And thank you, like, from our whole team for being a sponsor of our program. Like, if it wasn't for you and other sponsors, we couldn't do our jobs, and we couldn't do it in the capacity we're doing it. You know, we're each managing about 200 hunts a year for our state. So that's getting about twice that many kids out usually, because these hunts might be one kid at a time. They might be, you know, 6-7 kids if it's like a big pheasant hunt or a duck hunt or something like that. So it's impacting thousands of kids every year. And we can't do that without sponsors like you guys. So it's like such a blessing to work with you, truly. Like, you guys are just as much a part of making this happen, you know? So thank you for that.
There you have it, guys. Remington is on the rise. Like, comment, subscribe, and be sure to share this podcast with your hunting or shooting buddies. Be on the lookout for the next episode. You can find us anywhere you can stream podcasts. And for more Remington content, follow us on all social media platforms at Remington1816. If you have any questions or have a topic you'd like us to talk about, feel free to email us at podcast@remington.com. And if you want to learn more about Pass It On Outdoor Mentors, visit outdoormentors.org. Thanks for listening.